The famous Mason-Dixon line from the 1760s, separating the free states from the slave states, starts on the western border of Maryland and Pennsylvania and heads straight eastward until it meanders into the swampy flatlands of the eastern shore of Maryland. The eastern shore, this peninsula of craggy, steamy farmland, is like nowhere else in America. An hour from Washington, D.C., it's geographically and culturally unique. And there, right where there was supposed to be a clear line between slavery and freedom, archaeologists have unearthed evidence of a community of freed slaves and free blacks in the eastern shore town of Easton, the historically black neighborhood known as the Hill. It appears to be the oldest independent community of free blacks in the U.S., defying conventional wisdom as well as the barbaric map-making of Mr. Mason and Mr. Dixon. Dr. Mark Leone is a professor of anthropology at the University of Maryland who's been heading the dig of the Hill in the backyard of a building that dates back to the 1790s.
What we've discovered is, we believe, the remains of three free people of African descent who were listed in the 1800 federal census as being on the property. We had hoped to find a house or a building associated with them, but what we found, we believe, is evidence that at least one of them was a smith. So there's a lot of slag, nails, what are called nail forms, or the raw material from which nails were made when it comes from the foundry.
What was it about the Eastern Shore and Easton, Maryland particularly, that was apparently very welcoming to freed African-American slaves, to Africans, whatever the circumstances?
Quakers and Methodists both were abolitionists. Later in their histories, but certainly by the time slavery was at its height on the Eastern Shore. But in the small town of Easton, people who bought their freedom or were given their freedom set up a town, and there were between 400 and 500, and they are the people who bought the idea or were given the idea in the American Revolution that they should enjoy complete liberty like people of European descent. And I personally believe, as a scholar and an archaeologist, that it is this community that actually produces the energy and community spirit behind both Harriet Tubman, who's local, and Frederick Douglass, who was born within walking distance of the Hill.
How did these people live? In a sense of secrecy? Were they openly advocates of the abolitionist movement?
The image of the of Talbot County and Maryland's Eastern Shore, and indeed of this whole part of the Upper South, is of slavery, segregation, racism. But I think there's another history that begins with the Revolution, and may indeed be earlier, but we can recover some of it archaeologically by the time of the Revolution and throughout the 19th century, and that is many communities of self-sustaining African Americans protected by working with, in collaboration with surrounding European communities, people of European descent, white folks in other words. Freedom meant something to black people and to white people, and they both understood that they couldn't have the fullest measure of freedom without understanding, acknowledging, and helping each other.
Descendants from that original community still alive today on the Hill?
Many, 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 many. We have wonderful censuses that begin in 1760, kept by the Lloyd family, who owned many slaves at nearby White House, which, as I said, is associated with Douglas, and the surnames there. And these are censuses with first names and last names of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of enslaved Africans that the Lloyds owned. And their great-great-grandchildren are the people who are sponsoring this excavation and whose remains are in it.
The deep and long history of the Hill neighborhood, a community of free African-Americans dating back centuries. Dr. Mark Leone, professor of anthropology at the University of Maryland, thanks so much.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.